The Millennial Musician Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Funkadelic Studios. Located in the heart of Times Square, Funkadelic isn't just a studio, it's my creative sanctuary where I've spent countless hours perfecting my sound and making priceless connections with fellow artists. With a wide range of gear from iconic brands like Marshall, Fender, and Roland, Funkadelic has been the go-to for over 30 years to both brand new and veteran musicians. With their commitment to supporting local talent and fostering a sense of community, Funkadelic Studios is more than a destination, it's a movement. And did I mention it's the only woman-owned rehearsal studio in New York? To rehearse, record, rent or repair equipment, attend a workshop or a jam, and more, call Funkadelic Studios at 212-696-2513 or visit funkadelicstudios.com. For more information.
I've heard people say that last minute, in order to sabotage a performer, a song will get switched without their knowledge. Okay, she's smiling and giggling a little uncomfortably.
Tank, that is my response.
Heard that.
Are you totally overwhelmed with navigating your music career by yourself? Then you've come to the right place. My name is Shay Leonia, and I'm a professional singer, recording artist, and music career strategist. On this show, I share my expertise from the last 20 years in the music industry, along with some tips that I give my clients every single day. You'll also get to hear from some pretty badass guests. Get ready for some chutzpah and a lot of oversharing. It's time for the Millennial Musician Podcast.
It's time for another episode. But first, I want to do a quick dive into who's been listening. Because here's the thing, everyone. I started this podcast in the end of 2022. It is April 2024 as I'm recording this. And I cannot believe how far we've come. And it's all thanks to you. So real quick, I just want to shout you out because you're all listening. Canada, Estonia, we're in Estonia. Harjuma and Tartu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing either of those correctly, but shout out to you. Who else? We have UK. Ooh, who in the UK is listening? England. Oh, snap. And then we have Italy. Who's listening in Italy? Not enough information. Damn it, Italy. I'm from Jersey. This is not fair. I'm from like the number one Little Italy spot in the US that you could be from. So come on, come through. And then also Egypt. Egypt, you were listening like crazy to the last episode. What's going on, Egypt? Are you excited about the fan experience? Because I'm excited that you're listening to it and enjoying it. So thank you. And then also shout out to Nada Ali, who took the time to comment on the Spotify platform. Because on Spotify, when you listen there, you're able to respond to the Q&A questions or if I pop in any polls there. And they responded that they're not a musician, but they really liked the episode. They're talking about the one that I just put out with Mark McLaughlin about the fan experience. So shout out to you, Nada Ali. Thank you. This is just, I can't get over it. I cannot get over that I am finally, nearly 2 years later, speaking on this microphone and that it's actually getting out there into the world and that people are enjoying it and sharing it. And it's just super cool. It's I can't believe it. The other thing that I found out when I was snooping on the analytics is that the episode I did with Brianna Ruelas way back, yeah, that one's popped up in the lead as one of the top listened to episodes right now. And it makes sense because the voice is happening right now. And that episode goes in depth into what your thought process can be when you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to go on a reality singing show. And that's perfect timing because the episode I'm releasing today is with Savannah Brister, who was on season 16 in 2019. Savannah is amazing and what a sweetheart. And also how generous and selfless of her to come on the show to speak. Like, we did not spend enough time on her music, but she spent a ton of time, my fault, on answering all the questions that I had about the voice. And she answered some really like controversial questions. I mean, she really put it all out there. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. This is also going to be the last installment of the episodes that I recorded last year and that I let life get in the way. So, Savannah, I'm so sorry that it's taken me this long to get this episode out. But I hope you enjoy it nonetheless. I think it was great. I hope this sounds okay because I'm recording at my friend's house right now and there's a lot of wood and brick. All right, enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of the Millennial Musician Podcast. I'm your host, Shay Leonia. And today I am joined with someone I am a massive admirer of, Savannah Brister. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So where are you joining us from?
I am based in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis. I have yet to go to Memphis.
Girl, we can hook you up. We can get you some barbecue. We can go to Graceland. We got a Bell Street. It's like,
oh my gosh,
has this scary place.
I feel like after just hearing those few things that you mentioned, I'm looking down and I'm like, are cowboy boots on already? Did she just lace me up? Oh no, they don't even have laces, do they?
We'll teach you. It's okay. It's all right.
You're the first, I think the first Southerner I've had on my show. So this is New York meets Memphis. This is going to be interesting. So I discovered you, like many people, from The Voice. You were on season 16, correct?
16. Yes, ma'am.
And that was in 2019, right?
2019. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. And you were a baby.
I was 17.
Oh my
mom, like, that's it. Had to ride with me because I was a minor. And she's like, I get to go. So it was a wild ride. It was really fun. The whole process, I think, altogether took about a year because, you know, like behind the scenes, we auditioned way before it aired. So it was just going back and forth from California, living the life, man, of no sleep.
Okay. So we're going to get into the thick of it because we had Brianna Ruelas on the show a couple months ago. And isn't she just like chef's kiss? And
awesome.
So she was telling us about how to know whether or not we're ready to go on a reality show. But this is my first chance getting to talk to someone who was on The Voice. I would just love to just dive in to what that experience was like for you. Because I want anyone who's decided after listening to the show with Brianna, you know what? I think I want to audition. And I got that email from The Voice the other day. And I was like, let's go there. So first off, you're 17 years old. You're killing it in Memphis. And you decide on your own that you had always wanted to do this, or what, like, what happened that you were like, I'm going?
I was obsessed with the show. I actually ended up trying out when I was 15. I didn't make it. And my mom looked at me and she was like, do you want to try again? And I was like, heck yeah, I want to try. So I didn't get a chance to until 17. My only goal was to get further than I did beforehand. And it just kept going. And so I don't think I thought I was ready for that, but we did the thing.
And in 2019, this was before the pandemic. So obviously these auditions, the multiple auditions you were doing were in person, or?
Yes, in person. They started in Atlanta, Georgia. So I did the cattle call and went to Atlanta. And that was a cool process on its own because there were thousands of people there. And really organized though. And you end up getting into a room with about 10 people and you sing something a cappella. And from there, I think we got a call back for the next day and you actually got to sing 3 songs to some producers. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was just, here's my songs. Hope you like them.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So what were the songs that you had chosen to go with?
I think I did an Alicia Keys song for the very first audition. From there, I did The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson and She Used to Be Mine by Sarah Bareilles.
You're a vocalist, but what were you like conscientiously deciding on these songs based on different feels, or like how did you decide those songs in particular?
I just loved singing them. At the time, my vocal coach and I chose them together. I do think they all represented me. They were all things like I played the keys for some of them and I got to do my thing. And that was the one thing, the deeper we got into the process, the producers around us would just say, hey, just stick true to yourself. You're here because you're you. Like, don't.
Yeah.
I remember there's, I think, one girl who said this story before, but one of our last executive auditions, there was a girl with, she was decked out. She had the metallic lipstick. She like had this full outfit. I'm like a t-shirt and jeans girl. Like, I don't really do anything.
I
was like, oh man, I forgot the metallic lipstick. Like, I didn't get the
fifth.
And that was just one thing, like over and over again. They're just like, be yourself, just chill, do your thing. And that was true for everyone that made it on the show. They were all just very true to themselves.
And so were you getting to know other people at these cattle calls or just like
focused? By the time we made it out to California for the blind auditions. That was when we started getting to know each other. I think at that point they had narrowed it down to about 100 people. And we just all got to know each other. We were very close when we made it on the show, a big family. They even said, I think at the time, we were the closest they'd ever had of all the seasons. So we were just like, wow, you're another human like me. It was really sweet. Obviously, you get to hang out more with the people that are on your team. But yeah, it was cool. It's just
so you find out via phone call or via email that you got it.
So what happened, actually, I didn't think I'd made it. They ended up asking us after one of the auditions to fill out this like questionnaire. It took hours. It was so long. And I don't think I got one of the questionnaires. So they ended up calling us like months afterward. I'd already made my peace with the fact that I'd make it, like it was done. And they called and they're like, why haven't you filled out your questionnaire? I was like, I never got one. And so they sent that. And within a week, we figured out that I made it on the show. Thank you, technology.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was weird. It's really weird.
Wait, so this whole time, because I can only imagine you're schlepping back and forth these multiple auditions to get through the process. You're still in school, I imagine?
Yes, I was homeschooled, though. So that was a blessing.
Yes. Okay. All right. So thank goodness for flexibility there. But my God, but you're still having to learn as a 17-year-old.
Yes.
You're still studying. You're still in homeschool. But then you're like, I can only imagine if I were in that position just thinking, okay, any little sign that I've either made it or haven't made it, I'm going to latch onto. And I could only imagine telling everyone around me, don't tell me that you think I've made it. Because you know how friends get supportive and they're like, no, you totally made it. You totally made it. I would be like, stop it. Right. So you had finally just decided, okay, I've heard through the grapevine that everybody got a questionnaire. And all right.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.
I was like, time has passed. Okay, we'll try again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were able to just stay optimistic the whole time. If it doesn't happen this time, I can do it again in the future?
Yeah. I think I was disappointed, but I don't remember crying over it. I think I just was like, okay, I guess we didn't.
How healthy. That is so healthy. If I can't find my size at a clothing store, I will cry. And here she is potentially not being able to get on national television to sing. Okay, so fast forward. So then you end up going with your mom to California. And
yes,
there's also for anyone, because I don't think we touched on this with Brianna, but I heard from one of the contestants who never got to actually come on the show about the fact that I don't think people realize there are so many people that are waiting at the hotel to get their name called. But if all of these teams get filled up, then you just go home and nobody ever knows that you made it onto the show.
Yeah.
I don't know the recovery from that. I don't even know if I could do
that. It was crazy. Yeah. Because we were out there for a month and like they just prepping us. Like we had vocal lessons behind the scenes, which was really cool. And styling. I can't tell you how many shoes I saw. They were all beautiful. And I remember a friend of mine up until 2 days before her audition, she got cut off like 2 days. So it's constant. Just you're like, I'm still here. Thank God.
Wow.
It's a wild ride.
Do you know if word is getting back to these people while they're waiting? Hey, teams are filling up or?
I don't know. I feel like maybe friends probably texted each other. I was a bit of a hermit the first part of it. I just stayed with my mom. This is new. Oh. I will say the producers, I think, do a really good job of just keeping it airtight until they know what's happening. But you do, like, on the day of my audition, I remember being backstage and you're hearing, like, the other auditions go on and, like, chairs turn and you're like, there's another spot. And you're just sweating bullets.
That's got to be such a weird paradox to be in, because these are people that you've become friends with now. And so you want them to get on the show, but also
yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Very directly, that spot takes away the potential spot for you.
Yeah. Wow. It was weird.
Intense. So you get on for your audition. You sing one of my favorite artist of all time, anyone of sound mind, this is their favorite artist of all time, Stevie Wonder, Don't You Worry About a Thing, which was so convenient because John Legend had done a cover of it. So you go on singing, in a pseudo way, a judge's song. That's bold. I know you're a bold gal, but that is bold.
I didn't know that was true.
Oh, really?
No. Oh, yeah. I had no clue. I kid you not. I didn't even make eye contact with the guy. I was like, you just get through the song. Don't even. I think, and I do look back.
I'd look like I've died inside at that point. But yeah,
so it was cool. Just all a blur.
I blacked out. My parents had to remind me what happened. I don't know what happened. It was.
I watched it again today. I was like, I haven't seen this in years because the voice annoys the crap out of me because they take down like every previous season, even on YouTube, the footage from previous seasons. It annoys me so much because if only they knew or embraced binge culture. I don't know if there's some type of legality there, but like binge culture, I would absolutely go back and watch from season one. You go up there and you have what is my fantasy scenario where my two favorite coaches, John Legend and Kelly Clarkson, turn around.
Yeah.
How did you decide? Did you have a plan in your mind of who you would pick with any combination of
in your mind? I think I had decided beforehand. My top pick was John, and I got both of them. And then I was like, how do I choose? But I think in that moment, I just went with my gut. He and I play the piano. We're both soul. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we'll gel. We'll jive. It isn't a possible decision. I would have been happy with either.
I hope you don't think I'm a jerk for asking this, but do you ever think back and wonder what might have been if you had chosen Kelly? You do? Oh my gosh, can you tell me about some of the thoughts that go on in your head? Because I just want to just stroke this fantasy I'm having.
No, I literally, and let me just tell you, the majority of my family was like, you chose wrong. They were like,
really?
Even when I did it, because I feel like personality-wise, Kelly and I, we would have been tight. So that's where my brain goes on, Lord, you got to give me a second chance to meet that woman, because we would just have a glass of wine and have a good time.
Yeah.
A good time.
Now that you're old enough, we'll have a glass of wine. Kelly, she's ready for you now. She's grown.
I'm ready. I don't know. I have gone back and been like, shoot, I wonder. But at the same time, something happened with the battle. And that was like a special thing because we ended up getting on like USA Today and Billboard just because of the battle thing that happened. I'm like, I wonder if that would have happened had I not picked him. So I don't know. It was like, it's a toss-up.
Because that battle was, it was so complimentary. You got matched up with Mylan.
Mylan Zarman.
Mylan. Yes. Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce it. So sorry, Mylan. So John, I can always tell who he's going to turn around for. And he turns around for the most soulful vocalist and the most like technically skilled vocalist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly is all heart. If she sees that you have heart, she turns around. And that's why I would personally gravitate towards her. But then also, was there part of you being from Memphis that wanted to go with Blake?
Behind the scenes, he does a fantastic job of offering opportunity for his artists after the show is over. And that's something I paid attention to. So had I been given an opportunity, I don't know. I feel like each person provides their own shtick.
Yeah.
You're like Kelly. She's the mom. She's going to take care of
you. She really is.
And rally around you. Blake's the dad. He's got the, it's just, and we're going to, whoa. And he's really tall, by the way. And John is like the cool uncle. He's like dapper and makes you feel a little dumb, but he's also cool. And like, he knows everything. And then Adam's the cousin. He's the cool cousin.
That's so accurate. That's the family tree of The Voice. Yes. Nailed it. So you had that incredible battle where Kelly actually chose you there and too. And I was just like, oh my God, but I need somebody to save her. But then you had the opportunity afterwards, which I can't track down on the internet with BB.
It's gone.
So can you refresh my memory? Because I can't even remember what happened yesterday, let alone 2019 with BB Rexha. So tell me.
So they did something in my season called the comeback stage where they basically, I think, picked three or four people, I think, to basically fight your way back onto the show. And if you win that, you battled, I think, one other person on the show, I think, when they hit the lives and you made it back on the show. So I did that. BB Rexha was the coach. I made it to the semifinals. And then I got kicked off.
Wow.
So I was like, y'all made it clear. Like, y'all have kicked me off twice. Y'all can stop now. We're good. Like, it's thank you. But no, that was really cool. Just, I got to meet her and work with her. And it was another cool experience because they film it at the Jim Henson recording studio. And Mamma Mia, that place is beautiful.
I watched in awe because at 17 years old, you definitely look young and tender. And very new to the world. But you handled it with such grace and maturity. Okay. You immediately went to congratulate your opponent. And it's just, I was just like, she's such a class act. What a classy lady.
Thank you.
It's really hard to remember how young you are. It really is. Just for that alone. Because there are people my age who don't have even half of that. They're all like, I don't know about this person having this opportunity, and their opportunities is taken away from my opportunity. And it's just like, be like Savannah. Be like, congratulations. I'm going to pursue my lane. And that's exactly what you've been doing. Before we exit the voice conversation, I just want to dispel any myths for any artists about the voice from your perspective. What do you think are some of the myth-busting things that have to happen around being a contestant?
I would say make friends with the producers. That's all I will say.
Hmm.
Make friends with the producers. And that's all the nuggets I will give.
Okay.
That's all the nuggets all I will give. Maybe you and me can have another conversation. But
do you mind if I ask a couple questions and then you can tell me pass?
Yes.
If we can't go there?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we can play this game.
All right. So some myths I've heard are that they make you fabricate or push a certain part of your story.
That I do recommend having a story that will come with the questionnaire that you get. Just stay that's another thing. Stay true to yourself. For me, like me making a big sob story and crying on camera isn't my jam. My nickname is Smiley, so I stayed goofy. And I feel pick your personality and then whatever story fits that, roll with it and just give them what you're willing to give them. You are still in the power seat, so don't give them too much, how much ever you are willing to give. And just know that it could be on national television. So keep that in
mind.
Got it. But yes, I do. That is a true thing.
Okay. I've heard people say that last minute, in order to sabotage a performer, a song will get switched without their knowledge. Okay, she's smiling and giggling a little uncomfortably.
Take that as my response.
Heard that. I've heard that the airtime where we see you with your coaches is about as often as you see the coaches. Another smile and another giggle. Okay. All right. Heard loud and clear. Got it. Okay.
I'm going to add to that, though.
Yes.
You have fantastic people behind the scenes working with you. You're taken care of.
There you go. And one of my favorite scenes from the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding is where she goes, the man is the head, but the woman, she is the neck, and she can turn the head anyway. And I think about that line because it's always the people behind the scenes that I feel are going to be the ones that are going to call on you for any opportunities anyway.
100%.
It's not going to be John Legend. It's going to be Tommy in the back who is helping you pick out the shoes. Love that.
Yes.
Okay. This is aside from the myths, but did you feel like they were honoring your style? Did you have a large hand in what your style was?
Oh, yeah. That was actually a really fun part. I don't know. Are you a Pinterester? Do you like Pinterest?
I am.
They basically make you create like your own style board and then you can bring that with you. And that just represents what you would like to look like. And then I think you can bring your own clothes and they will add stuff to it. But they end up going shopping for you and picking out stuff if they don't already have it. It's a fun process. And your consolation prize if you get kicked off is the outfit you were wearing when you got kicked off.
I really like how I look that day. I can sing really badly and just be like, I don't deserve this, John, but I deserve this outfit. That's amazing. I never heard that. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's talk about the myths around your social media and like music releases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've heard contractually you can't release any music while you're on the show.
True.
How long after you get kicked off are you allowed to release music?
I don't think it was that long. Honestly, I think like a certain amount of weeks after your last episode airs, or in my case after the comeback stage was over, I think you were able to. So that would be an encouragement for people if you were going to. I would go ahead and have music ready and recorded. So whenever you do get kicked off, you're ready to roll out stuff and still take advantage of the people you have made fans.
I wonder if you're even allowed to do a really long
promo series for those several weeks, if that's a loophole, or maybe that's in the clause, like that you're not even allowed to promote new material, or is it just strictly the release? Do you know?
I don't know. I would definitely take advantage of social media as much as you can. Other than that, TikTok, I feel like that would be the one thing I watched as a friend. I'm a grandma. I'm just now learning how to use social media. But I wish I'd taken advantage of it more than I had. So I feel like while you have the audience, while you have a buzz rolling, use it as much as you can. I think we put up posters around Memphis and made it a thing. And yeah, as much as you can, get your community involved. There are ways to still capitalize on what's happening, even if you can't release music.
I feel like there was one more myth. Oh, do they tell you what to post on social media throughout the show? Hey, make sure you're posting this thing.
Just when they'll give you certain things to post. Obviously, when we audition, you can announce that you auditioned. Yeah, yes and no. Like, you have freedom to do whatever. They'll just be like a few specific things they want you to post, and you'll want to too, just so you can allow your community to know what's
happening.
Absolutely.
I'd be like, I auditioned.
My one last bonus question. This is not a myth thing or whatever. But while you were on, especially considering your age and the fact that you are the smiley person that I know I would want to protect that, were you someone that read the comments in real time, or were you staying away from the comments?
I stayed away as much as I could. We were told, we had a certified teacher behind the scenes to work with us minors because we had a specific amount of hours to do for school. And I remember her looking at all of us one day and she was like, please promise me you won't read any of the comments. Not because all of them are bad, but she said, even the good ones, she said, one day you will read something and it will get in your head so much. Either because somebody said, oh, I love how you did this riff here. And that she said, you'll automatically think, oh, I have to do that every time. And so it just really, as much as you can, just, you don't need to read them. Please. There's no need. My dad
did you
read
ever go back
them.
And read? Oh, he did.
Oh,
he
my gosh. Every single one. I was like, Dad. Let go. But it's...
I would have been starting fights online.
Oh, man. Oh, man. He may have. I don't know. But yeah, there's no... Yeah. Just post and leave it. Just leave it.
Let's truly close this chapter of The Voice, because you are so much more than just The Voice, although your voice is spectacular. You are also a phenomenal songwriter.
Oh, thank
Cinnamon,
you.
Feelings, those are my go-to. I know those are your most recent songs, but like the skill level of writing songs that freaking good. How long have you been a songwriter?
Probably since I was about 15, 14, 15. Granted, we will never, ever unpack those songs, Shay, ever.
I agree. Listen, I have
flicking back
my disasters.
Pictures.
Don't even worry.
Not
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. That's if I had to choose. Granted, I like doing all of the things, but if I had to choose one thing, it would probably be songwriting. And
yeah.
You could just put me in a room and record and I'd be happy.
Are you someone who prefers to write by themselves, or do you like collaborating with other people?
Oh, I like both for different reasons. 50-50.
Really?
50. Yeah.
Ooh, tell me why.
I think when I started songwriting, it was all about just getting the words out on paper that I couldn't say verbally. And so is therapy. So for that, it's still that today in a lot of ways. So just me chilling with my piano. I'm happy. That's my zone. But I also really enjoy working with other people. Two brains are almost always better than one. It's just cool to collaborate and see where they would take a song. So yeah, I don't know. I'm very passionate about both.
It shows. It really shows. And do you have a hand, like the Feelings video was next level. Did you have a part in the concepts that shown throughout Feelings?
I'm all about it. My aunt, actually, she played the mime.
Did she? She was so good.
And so she ended up flying down and surprising me. We had already planned out what we were going to do. And at the last minute, she called me and she was like, all right, I have this idea. Just stick with it. And so she pitched the mom idea. It's just a group effort. Whatever happens, we just throw a bunch of ideas together and see what sticks. And that was so much fun. I cannot explain to you. It was so much fun. But we're already
pressing. I love that it was her idea.
Oh, yeah. And then my mom's college best friend, like, came and played the therapist. We just
really...
Wow. We just all rallied. And this next one, we're already prepping for the next video. and it involves a lemonade stand, and it's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
I'm excited.
Did she have some type of like deep meaning behind why she wanted to do the mime thing, or was it just, I feel like it will complement the concept?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. We were just like, I think for me personally, and that's what the song's about, I tend to put up 50 different walls. And she was like, this can be your alter ego of like someone who shows all of the emotion and who's like throughout the video, I feel like both people are having a conversation a little bit. So I don't know. I can get really deep into it, but
it's so good. It's so good. I'm so excited for this next video. So are you able to say what the next video, which song it's going to be for?
I can. This song won't be out until probably late February, early March, but it's called 20s and it's a fun one. I was like, we need something fun after a sad piano ballad. We need something fun. So it's just a little.
Thank you, Balance.
Yes, we like it. We needed a dance.
You are someone who I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but from the outside looking in, it looks like you might have a significant fan base that follows you because of gospel songs. Yeah. But most of your music, correct me if I'm wrong again, it has been secular, right? Is that what
yes.
it's called?
Yes.
I'm so ignorant
yeah.
and
no,
Jewish.
You're good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying. You should hear when my best friend is trying to tell me about like her morning readings. And she's like, in Christianity, we have this thing. And I'm always like, okay, teach me, because I have no idea. I'm like, what's a bibble? So it's great. Can you tell me, have you ever had to like dodge any type of feedback from one group of fans wanting you to do more of this music or more of that music? Ooh. Has that ever been a thing? Or do you feel like your audience just loves your music for you?
I think a little bit of both. I've never been willing to pick one or the other.
Both.
I just like both. So I definitely say there are people that have, just out of love, not really out of, oh, you should do this. But I've grown up in the church, been at the church all my life, sung at the church. And that is normally where a lot of people are like, you need to go do this lane. And I'm like, I will in a second. I'll do what I want. It's just like this lane over here is my therapy and it's fun. It's great. And then this one involves a lot of my friends and my church. It's just different baskets. It's all music.
Don't I love that you embrace both. Yeah, exactly. Who needs a box? No, I love that, because I find that so many different artists that I work with, they get concerned because they want to show off multiple facets of the styles that
yeah.
they like, but they get so concerned about, my fans aren't going to expect that, and then I'm going to lose them as fans because they're going to think I'm going in this one lane, even though I just want to visit this lane and come back to it.
Yeah.
Seal did the crooning thing, and this is my second yeah. time on the podcast talking about Seal crooning, but like he goes from these super electronic songs to then all of a sudden he's a crooner, and it's, you just yeah. have to trust that people like you for you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Tell me your thoughts. Let me stop.
I think, I love you. I think the second you build, who's your favorite artist?
Oh my gosh, Michael Jackson.
Oh my girl. Oh, we are friends. We already were. But it's done now. Okay, so.
Living Janet Jackson.
Okay, I'm going to see her, by the way. If you think, like, one of my favorite people is Tori Kelly. Love Tori Kelly. Love Sander. I think if you really think about your favorite artist and you think about why you like them, I think it's more that you connect to them as a person more than the music sometimes. If you get to that level with your fans, and the ones that are the true ones are there, will mm-hmm. stick around for everything. So
yeah.
I could release country for all I care. And I think the real ones will stick around. For those that are concerned, your music will find the people it needs to find. It's not really I don't think it's a concern. I think you just put out the music and enjoy it.
I love that you just said that, because I think that it speaks on the other side of the spectrum, why it's valid that we get so hurt as fans when certain artists start going off the deep end and
yeah.
and we loved yeah. their music for years and years, but then they start being bad human beings.
Yeah.
It's really hard. It's really hard mm-hmm. to separate that art from the artist in that way, because
yeah.
you're right. We fall in mm-hmm. love with them. I'm assuming Tori Kelly's like the one person that if you had a chance to collab with,
dude,
you would just pass out and then
I just want to go have a cup of coffee. I just want to go chill. We don't even have to sing a song, okay? I just want to go have a coffee with her and just ask her questions. Just chill with her and be like, you're a beautiful human. Thank you for your service.
I'm such a massive fan of her older ones, like confetti and eyelashes.
I think she's coming out with an R&B album now. I've seen that around. Talk about hitting all of the genres. She has done singer-songwriter. She's done gospel. She's done pop. But I think the next one is R&B because she's hinted. I'm like,
I hope JoJo's on it. If JoJo is on it, wouldn't it be? Wait, but have you done any like TikTok duets with Tori?
Dude, I haven't. And I'm so happy you said that. Again, the social media thing. We're just now.
Okay, listen. We're just now. What I want you to do.
TikTok is on the goal list this year. I'm already working on it. It's
work on it. Girl, go over there and find one of her videos where she's like, duet me, everyone. And then she sings super badass. Then you sing super badass. Okay. And then she's, who is this amazing woman? Oh, Savannah. Oh my gosh. Let me meet up with her for the cup of coffee. And there you go.
And there I go. Okay. We have a plan. I really like plans. This is great. This is
aren't
good.
You? This is like the best plan I've ever had.
It's perfect. It right. really is.
I'm so glad you came on this show today.
I'm so glad I came on the show. This is therapy. This is business planning. All the things.
You get it all when you come to the Millennial Musician Podcast, everyone.
That's right.
Savannah, how can we support you? I will absolutely put all of the essential links in the show notes, but please tell us you have coming up next, what we can be on the lookout for.
You can find everything at savannahbrister.com. That's where I'll
love your website, by the way. It's so good.
You're a beautiful human. Thank you. So that's where you can find music and everything. If you follow me, you will know when the next single comes out. If anyone's in Kansas City, I'm doing Folk Alliance International next month. Come hang out with your girl. And other than that, I think that's it.
Thank you for joining me today. You are just a ray of sunshine. And now I have a reason to go to Memphis. Thank you. Everyone, if you want to support this podcast, please make sure that you are subscribed, review, share it with a friend, and tune in next Sunday when we will have a brand new episode for you. Thank you, everyone, for listening.